Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to a special episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm Brian Whidden here with Angela Hoy, owner-operator of writersweekly.com and president and CEO of booklocker.com.
Oh, we got a good one today.
This is getting inserted between our Yahoo Boys episodes because we wanted to jump on this as soon as this this report came out. Because it basically proves everything we've been saying for ever since we started this podcast and well over a year.
Yeah.
Okay, so straight to it. Reuters came out with a very long article, which we will link to, explaining, well, before I explain what they explained, I want you to picture something. Most of our listeners, I'm pretty sure, are old enough to remember what a shopping mall was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I want you to picture that this is a shopping mall, you know, whatever one you've been to, a big shopping mall, you've been to it a hundred times. I mean, not lately, you know, but, you know, 80s, 90s kind of thing, you know, anything that you would need, you go to the shopping mall. And what's in that shopping mall? Well, it's mostly a lot of shops, but there's a lot of people. You can go there and you can visit little vendors in the hall, in the main hallway areas,
kiosks
and stuff. In those kiosks, you can do anything from purchase some cheap jewelry to signing up for insurance to
internet to
phones and, you know, any kind of stuff, right? Yeah, investment opportunities, all kinds of, right? There were video arcades, places you can go and play video games. You can go to the food court, get something to eat. There were places you could just hang out and socialize with your friends, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of things you can do in a shopping mall. Now, I want you to imagine, what do you say, about 20% of the stores in that shopping mall are going to, either they have electronic devices that are going to scan your credit cards from inside your wallet or purse and steal money from you,
mm-hmm.
or they're going to sell you stuff. You'll take a box off the shelf, take it up to the register, pay your money, get home only to find out there was just weight in the box to make it feel like there was something and you get nothing out of it. But you paid your money to the store.
Yep.
Also in that shopping mall, let's say about 2% of everybody walking that shopping mall is a criminal of some kind that's going to pickpocket you,
mm-hmm.
possibly attempt to kidnap you, or flat out rob you.
Yeah.
How much time would you spend at that shopping mall? And
let's say
you go to a store, you purchase something, and you take it home, you open the box, it's a box with some weight in there, so it just felt like there was something in there, but you did not get what you wanted to pay for, and you paid a lot of money for it. You take it back to the store, and the store just, they lock the doors, they don't let you in.
Right, the store's gone.
Well, no, the store's still there.
Oh, okay.
Store's still there, but they won't let you in to do a return or anything. So you go to the mall, the mall office, and say, this store that you have in your mall ripped me off and they refused to do anything to help me get my money back. In fact, they're just basically looking at me and saying, sucker, do something about it. And the mall office says,
Well, we've gotten some complaints about that store, but that doesn't rise to the level of what we feel is inappropriate behavior, and therefore we're going to leave them in place and let them continue to do business.
That's a great analogy.
How much time would you spend in that shopping mall?
Yeah.
Right? Picture that.
And who would you trust in that shopping mall?
And who do you trust in that shopping mall?
Individuals,
right?
Or businesses. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Okay. So Reuters just put out a report on Facebook owner company called Meta.
Meta Platforms Incorporated.
Meta Platforms owns Facebook, Instagram.
And WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay. Three of the most heavily used communications
platforms yeah.
known to man, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out that Meta, after everybody's been complaining to Meta about and Facebook about the scammers on Facebook, on those platforms, on Instagram, well, they were doing their own internal studies.
Yeah.
And they projected last year, Meta, that approximately 10% of its overall annual revenue,
advertising revenue,
almost $16 billion, was coming specifically from scammers that were advertising on Facebook.
That Facebook knew were scammers.
And they knew that they knew were scammers.
Yeah.
Now think about that. They knew that they were earning $16 billion from advertisements run by scammers. Okay? So I'm going to hand it over to Angie. I want her to give you a little background on how hard we've been working on this.
Yeah, it's been over a year. I've told this story before. I was on Facebook and getting fed all these ads from publishing scammers, and I knew they were publishing scammers because they had horrible grammatical errors. Most of them at the time said, get published in just $199 or in just $299. They all had the same format. They had different covers, different company names, but you could tell it was the same core crime cartel is what it was. So I started getting all these ads, so I would post underneath, this is a scam, this is a scam, to warn people. And I started noticing another guy named James Walsh who was doing the same thing. So clicked over to his profile, said, hey, dude, we're fighting the same fight. Let's fight it together. Turns out he's a lawyer, and he was just doing that on his own time, mm-hmm. free of charge, never charged anybody a penny for the advice he gave them. And he was all over those ads, too. And, of course, the more ads you click on and post a comment, the more scammer ads you get. That's the way their system works. So started working with James. We started compiling a spreadsheet. It's over 2,500 companies now, websites, and you know, sorting them by address, phone number, figuring out which one was related to that one. And then we posted an article on Writers Weekly, and I'll post a link to it underneath this episode at writersweekly.com/podcast. And then it just became so overwhelming that we had to write an article to teach people how to check for themselves. It's 11 points, 11 steps to see if it's a scam or not. Well, early on, I contacted Jennifer Newstead, who's the lead legal counsel at lead lawyer at Meta Platforms. She didn't write back to me, but I very quickly received an email from investigations@meta.com. And they said, we want to see what you have. Send us everything you have. So I thought, well, I'm not going to feed them, you know, these hundreds of companies all at once. So I sent them like six or seven at a time. First email, six, seven, maybe eight of them had the Facebook link to their Facebook profile, the website, and details exactly how they were scamming authors, using fake book covers, stealing book covers from other publishers who's published these books years before this website existed, showing that they were located in Pakistan or that their website was registered in Iceland, but they were using a U.S. address, which was a virtual address, meaning you can pay somebody a few dollars a month to make it look like you're located there when you're not. The list goes on, and you can read the extensive investigations we've done on hundreds of companies. But again, it got so big that we couldn't keep adding companies to that page because they take down one website after they get so many people that, you know, accuse them of being scammers, and they put up five more websites. And a lot of the websites have the same basic template, different covers, different colors, different name, but I can open one of those websites and tell within 3 seconds if it's part of this overseas publishing scam consortium. So we sent Meta the first email, didn't hear back, checked a few days later. I think one of the profiles had been taken off of Facebook. I can't remember exactly. Sent them another email with 7 or 8 or 9 of them. Exact same format, link to Facebook, their website, every which way they were scamming people. And again, we sent several emails to Meta about all these different companies. And I think in the end, we sent them over 60 companies. And I think they removed 5, if I remember correctly. Could have been 8. I can't remember. But they never responded to any of our emails.
Yeah.
And then it became clear after the last few emails that they weren't doing anything at all. Yep. So we just quit. And we thought the only way to stop this, stop people from being scammed, is to educate people.
Yeah.
On a personal note, we have spent hundreds of hours on this. Not just identifying scammers, adding them to our spreadsheet, writing about it. Some of we've written articles about specific scammers when we connect, you know, several websites together. We've had a victim of this on our podcast.
Yep.
And we have spent time away from our children and grandchildren trying to get this under control, trying to alert people. James Walsh has spent probably thousands of hours on this. And
unpaid.
And I have to tell you, when you're dealing with scum, which is what they are, it can really bring your soul down.
Yeah.
I mean, you get exposed to it every single day. And we get several emails every day from victims, scam victims. And people, you know, I lost $40,000. I lost over $1 million. I lost $16,000. I've got scammed 3 or 4 times in a row. And we hear from these victims and we do what we can to help them. We tell them, there's one way to get your money back, and it's only if you used a credit card. Otherwise, you're screwed.
Yep.
We've heard from victims who were so embarrassed they hadn't even told their spouse they'd been scammed. We've heard from victims who didn't have any debt, and now they've got tremendous credit card debt. And a lot of them say, you know, I just don't even want to write anymore because of what they've done to me. So. Yeah, from a personal standpoint, it's been heartbreaking, and we have spent so much time. And we know that Meta knew about this all the time, and now we have proof because Reuters has gotten hold of internal documents at Meta. So,
and before we move forward with what Reuters found out, what we have seen personally from these scam victims is bad. The numbers spell it out, you know, $40,000, $100,000. I think one person lost almost $1 million on a fake movie deal.
Yeah, fake movie deal because he wrote a book.
And that's bad.
That was over $1 million.
But you have to remember, there are people who get scammed and lose everything. Yep. I mean everything. Mm-hmm. They flush all of their retirement money down the toilet, thinking that they're going to, you know, that they're investing in something or whatever.
And it's
people have committed suicide after being scammed by these people.
Adults and children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What were you going to say?
It's not just, actually, the publishing scams is just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's the romance scams. It's the fake lotto scams, which I talked about last week.
Yeah. We're just a small piece of the puzzle here.
Yeah.
But it's everywhere.
But they're going in and pretend they're using one of your friends' real names and using their profile picture, setting it up on Facebook, and then they friend you, and then, well, they send you a private message and you think it's your friend, and one tried to do that to me, and I won $450,000 lottery. You just need to send me this much money so I can split the payment because I like you so much and I'm going to share it with you. It's investment scams, crypto scams, I mean, you name it.
Yeah.
And Meta knew it was happening.
Knew it was happening and kept going.
And kept going.
Let it happen.
And we're going to tell you why in this episode. And so, it's going to make your stomach turn over.
Yep. So Reuters got a hold of a cache of internal documents from Meta, which I am going to assume means that they were probably got a hold of some Meta employees that were willing to sneak some documents out and give it to them.
I would assume because there is a lawsuit brewing against Meta in California right now.
Yeah.
And on writersweekly.com/podcast under this episode, we will share the details for that law firm, email addresses, of course, name address, email address, specific lawyers that are working on this case.
Yeah.
Because Facebook's already been sued over these ads by scammers that Facebook was profiting from. So if you have been scammed after seeing an ad on Facebook, Instagram, or somebody contacted you on WhatsApp, you definitely want to contact that law firm and get involved in that.
So, what Reuters is exposing are definitely things. Now, it's in writing. It's in these documents that were inside of Meta.
They don't say how they got a
hold of them. Clearly not the kind of stuff you would that Meta wants out there.
Right, absolutely.
So I know I am absolutely certain that some whistleblowers decided to sneak some documents out of Meta.
Yeah, good for them.
I can only imagine what kind of headhunt is going on right now in Meta to find out who did that, if they're still there. But anyway, what these documents showed was that at least for the last 3 years, Meta knew about fraudulent e-commerce, illegal online casinos, investment schemes, even advertisements for banned medical products.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to even buy these things, but they're advertising them.
And you know that list is very short.
And they failed to identify and stop these things.
Yeah.
So one document from back in December of 24, it said that an estimated 15 billion, quote unquote, higher risk scam advertisements, and those are advertisements that clearly are fraudulent based on a reviewer at Meta looking at it. I'm like, yeah, absolutely, that's fraudulent.
Risk, yeah.
Yep. 15 billion of those advertisements get shown to their users every day.
15 billion every single day.
That's right. And they earn about $7 billion every year from those ads, according to a 2024 document.
Yep.
$7 billion
every year
that they make for ads that they know are ripping off their users.
Yep.
Okay. Now, here's the catch. Well, this is great. I mean, just dig a deeper hole for us, shall we?
Yeah.
Those documents also showed that users who click on a scam ad, you're going to see more of those scam ads.
Yep.
Because Meta's ad personalization system is algorithmed to show you more of what you click on.
It's like when you're on TikTok and you watch a funny cat video, and then every other video that comes after that is a cat video.
Yeah.
That's how their algorithms work. Well, also, what we've talked about is if you've been a victim of a scam, there's a specific personality type that falls victim to those things.
Yeah.
Your chances of being scammed more than once are much higher.
Absolutely, which is exactly why Facebook's algorithms work completely against you. If you're vulnerable to scams.
Yeah.
And that's what scammers want, is to be shown to the people that have already been scammed.
Sure. And it's probably not that Facebook set it up that way, but just their algorithms work like every other social media algorithm. Yeah. If you're interested in this, we're going to keep feeding you the same similar content.
Now, I'll give you Meta's response. They had a spokesman named Andy Stone respond to Reuters. And he says that the documents that Reuters have, and I will quote this, quote, present a selective view. I love that. Selective view.
Right, yeah.
Selective view that distorts Meta's approach to fraud and scams, unquote. Their internal estimate that they would earn about 1% of its 2024 revenues from scams. So Meta's own bean counters figured out that the scam ads they were running would net them about 10% of their 2024 overall revenue. Mr. Stone said that estimate was rough and overly inclusive.
I'm calling BS on that.
I don't care how overly inclusive it was. It's still too much. You're making hundreds of billions of dollars a year, and you don't want to give up 10% of that to save save your customers from hell, basically.
They say they're making $7 billion a year from these scam ads.
Who knows what's real?
I don't believe it.
I don't know.
I don't believe it. I bet it's way worse than that.
And it says here at the end of this paragraph that Mr. Stone failed to provide or declined to provide. So he was asked to provide an updated figure to dispute this over rough and overly inclusive 10%, and he could not provide an updated
figure.
He declined to provide an updated figure. So they won't tell us what the real number is, even though they say that what we're reading isn't really true. Whatever you do, don't believe your eyes. You got anything you want to jump in and add on this before we move forward?
Well, I wanted to talk about the number of pieces of scam ad content that they claim they've removed versus what's still being shown to their users every day.
Yeah.
And you actually corrected my math on that today because I was looking at all those zeros on my spreadsheet. I had to actually go in and change where I could see commas, between every three zeros. Yeah. That's what kind of money we're talking about. Yeah. And I actually did it wrong and put
When you start trying to do math, when you're working in the hundreds of millions and the billions, those zeros can get a little confusing.
Yeah,
yes.
So I published an article about this yesterday in Writers Weekly, and we'll post a link to that under this episode as well. But oops, Brian had to correct my math because there were just so many. I had to put my reading glasses on. I'm like, hundreds, thousands, millions, billions.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so I want to quote something here. This is my next point. And this is something else that that Andy Stone, spokesman for Meta, said. Quote, over the past 18 months, we have reduced user reports of scam ads globally by 58%. And so far in 2025, we've removed more than 130 million pieces of scam ad content, Stone said. Okay. Let's start with him saying that over the past 18 months, we have reduced user reports of scam ads globally. Okay, now that sounds pretty good. Wow, they've cut it in half. They used to get a whole bunch of these reports on scam ads, but now they're only getting half of that. How many of those people actually just quit reporting we did?
Yeah.
Not because Facebook suddenly reduced its... Notice it doesn't say it reduced its scam ads by 58%. Mm-hmm. It reduced the user reports of scam ads by 58%.
I got a personal...
And you're still showing... Well, and one other... So we've removed more than 134 million pieces of scam ad content versus 15 billion a day are still showing people.
Yep.
That is a drop in a bucket of piss.
Yeah.
Sorry,
right.
But that's what it is.
Yep.
It's nothing. 134 million, that's nothing. You could easily do multitudes of that with your algorithm.
And remember, this was 134 million pieces of scam ad content just this year.
Just this year.
In
10
months of 2025.
Yeah.
Only 134 million. Yet they're feeding their listeners, their users 15 billion scam ads
every day.
A day.
Yeah.
And now you can see why my spreadsheet was getting very confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
And like I had said in our last episode of Yahoo Boys, we were talking about Facebook and them running these ads and stuff, and we were kind of befuddled over why Facebook can't seem to find all these scam ads. But back in 2020, they had no problem finding anybody that criticized the government's treatment of COVID and cancel them and take their ads down.
Yeah.
Anybody
and
that
Zuckerberg
said anything,
admitted to that.
Anything that the Biden administration didn't like, they had no problem finding all of that and shutting people down. But somehow they can't find the ads. Well, now we know the ads they knew were there.
Yeah.
They said, but hey, we're making too much money. We're not going to take these down.
Mm-hmm. And again, in a little bit, we will tell you why they didn't take them down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, when you see a scammer on Facebook, you click, you go to their profile, you click on the three little dots on the right, and you can report them. And one of the options is scam/fraud. Mm-hmm. Almost every time you do that, there's no box where you can type in why it's a scam, like, oh, they ripped me off for this much money, or, you know, copyright infringement, trademark infringement. There's no details. You just click on a button.
Scam. Yeah.
And then it says, okay, submit. Mm-hmm. And then almost every single time they write you back and say, we didn't find a problem with this profile.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Think about that. If you do that enough about scammers and Facebook just keeps sending you the same message, they're not violating our community guidelines, are you going to keep clicking to report people?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a complete waste of time.
Over time, you realize this is a waste of my time and I'm not going to do it anymore. That's how they decrease their, their user reports by 58%.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Now, if they were actually going in and researching these companies and removing them, I think that the reports would have gone up, not down.
Perhaps.
Because
if
you're successful getting a scammer taken down and you see another one, oh, well, it worked last time. I'm going to protect people,
protect
other users. I'm going to do it. So, I think that's how they lowered it, the reports, to 58% because
people just
gave up. I've given up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the point?
And a lot of these documents, we're going to move a little further now. A lot of these documents apparently were drawn up by some of their higher ups that were getting together and actually discussing this whole fraud thing and fraudulent ads and the revenues they were bringing in and what are we going to do about it? And I'm actually kind of shocked at the honesty that was put into some of these documents that
I never thought
the public would see.
Yeah.
Quoting this from the Reuters article here, a May 2025 presentation by its safety staff estimated that the company's platforms were involved in a third of all successful scams in the U.S.
Wow.
I mean, to think that they actually admitted that in writing, mm-hmm. in their documents.
Also, in the Reuters article, it said that some of its main competitors made it acknowledged mm-hmm. in other internal documents that some of its main competitors were doing a better job at weeding out fraud on their platforms.
Yes.
And you know, they have the Meta has the technology.
Absolutely,
to
they
take
do.
Care of this problem.
Absolutely, they do.
But again, we're going to tell you why they kept doing it.
In April 2025, there was a Meta review of online communities where fraudsters get together and discuss their tradecraft. Okay, so apparently Meta actually has people watching these, I guess, you know, online forums and social media platforms where fraudsters get together and
share their
news. And Meta put in its report, quote, it is easier to advertise scams on Meta platforms than Google, unquote.
And what did they do about it?
What did they do about mm-hmm. it? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So Meta has acknowledged that, I mean, they're not oblivious to this.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning they're not oblivious to the fact that the government can punish them for having scam ads on their platform.
Yep.
All right. And now we're going to start getting really into the meat and potato business.
Yeah. Now remember, $7 billion a year. That's Meta's estimate, what they're earning from scam advertisements.
Yep.
Which we think it's higher than that, but they're admitting $7 billion a year.
Now, in the U.S., and I'm not sure exactly which agencies would get involved with this. I would assume the SEC, Securities and Securities Exchange Commission.
You got it. I have no doubt they're going to be pulled in front of Congress.
Possibly FCC, Federal Communications Commission, and Congress.
Yeah.
If they are determined that Meta has, you know, has been complicit in all of this, mm-hmm. they can, you know, what do they do? Well, you know, we're in the U.S. You can't just shut a business down.
Yeah.
You know, the government doesn't have that authority, but they can fine you. And Angie, what did Meta think their fines would be for this?
Well, here's what we've been teasing everybody with for the past 15 or 20 minutes. $7 billion a year in revenue. And according to Reuters, Meta has internally acknowledged that regulatory fines for scam ads are certain and anticipates penalties of up to $1 billion, according to one internal document. So
okay,
if they're making $7 billion a year and they think they're going to get caught, they know they're going to get caught, but they're only expecting fines of $1 billion, they have zero financial incentive to stop the scam ads.
Yep.
In fact, they have... In other words, billions of reasons to keep it going.
Yep. Rather than do the right thing, they said, nope, we'll go ahead and we'll take that $1 billion hit as a fine and we'll keep the $6 million that we brought in from all these scammers.
Well, per year.
Yeah. Per year. I want to relate this to something here. My uncle, who is now deceased, owned a security company. He not only contracted out security guards to various places in the Tampa area, he also would consult businesses on improving their security. And he explained to me once that they partnered with this business, and this is back probably in the 70s, with one of these businesses that was creating, now we now see them everywhere, plexiglass enclosures for cashiers at gas stations, kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what my uncle told me was when those first came out, he and his partner went all over the Tampa area showing, you know, saying, hey, look, you know, here's this great new, you know, this new, I don't want to call it device.
Safety option.
Improvement you can make to your business that will improve the safety of that cashier in the middle of the night when someone comes to rob them.
Yeah.
They're behind this bulletproof glass. They can't be shot. They can sit there and call the police while the person threatens them with a gun without having to worry about anything, you know? And, you know, it would cost this much. And it wasn't cheap. I mean, you know, think about building... And he told me that product did not do so well. You know why? Because those businesses sat down and looked at, if one of our employees gets shot and killed in a robbery, this is how much the insurance company will pay out. This is how much it's going to cost us to replace that employee.
Oh my God.
And this is the total cost. And that does not justify the cost of this plexiglass that you want us to put up around our cashiers.
It's just nauseating.
Desk. Yeah.
Absolutely nauseating. These large companies that they just don't give a flip about people.
Bean counter and decide what's going to cost their bottom line less.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, some poor dude trying to make, you know, back then, God knows, $5 an hour, you know, working in the middle of the night in some trashy convenience store in the middle of Tampa.
Yeah.
And you're saying, yeah, well, if he gets killed, I'll just have to hire another one and our insurance will pay it out.
It's just a cost of doing business.
Yeah. And that's what Meta's doing to every one of you.
Well, people that are actually clicking on the scams and getting scammed. Meta knows about this, and we've written about this in Writers Weekly. And again, we'll put a link to this article under writersweekly.com/podcast. Some of these scammers are being drawn into the scam groups by going and applying for jobs, and they get kidnapped, and they're forced to work in this warehouse or basement or whatever.
Yeah.
It's human trafficking. Facebook knows this is happening.
Yeah, and won't take it down.
Also, like Brian mentioned early in the episode, adults and even children have committed suicide after being scammed. Now, I'm sure that Meta knows about that as well. They know the possible human risk. To say, they definitely know about the financial devastation to American citizens, to Meta's own customers, loyal customers.
Yeah.
They know that people are being bankrupted by scammers.
Yep.
And
you don't care.
You know what? It's a cost of doing business for them. Yeah.
And
they
don't
care.
And it just keeps getting worse. So Meta's figured out that they're anticipating penalties of up to $1 billion for having all these scam ads on their platform, right?
I wonder if they think that's $1 billion for the past several years or $1 billion a year.
Even if it's per year, they're still making a lot of money. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read the next paragraph verbatim here from Reuters. But those fines would be much smaller than Meta's revenue from scam ads, a separate document from November 24 states.
Yeah, they are admitting it.
Every 6 months, Meta earns $3.5 billion from just the portion of scam ads that, quote, present higher legal risk.
This is where it gets so interesting.
It's only the really, really bad ones. That's what they're making the $7
billion on. Oh, that's right.
That's not all of the scam. It's just the worst of the worst that they say, we're making $7 billion off these things.
The ones that, quote, present higher legal risk.
We don't even get to know how much they're making off of all the scam
ads. Certainly what it looks like, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Such as those falsely. Let me try this again. Such as those falsely claiming to represent a consumer brand or public figure or demonstrating other signs of deceit. That figure almost certainly exceeds, quote, the cost of any regulatory settlement involving scam ads, unquote.
Now, let's consumer brand, we've seen that.
That's send me $500, I'm going to send you a Louis Vuitton bag, and it turns out to be a cheap piece of Chinese crap.
Or you get nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or public figures. We talked about this.
Johnny Depp's calling you up saying, hey, yeah. You know, boy, you sure are a hot 70-year-old lady. why don't you send me $1,000 and I can be your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay. There's that.
And we explained in the last episode how they do that. They go to the real Johnny Depp Facebook account. They use his name, of course. They pick his picture. They probably grab a bunch of those pictures. You can right-click and save those all day long. They create an account on Facebook, a profile called Johnny Depp.
Yep.
And then the scammer, the fake Johnny Depp, private messages, because they go and look for Johnny Depp's fans on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and they click on him. Hey, you're my number one fan or whatever, and I want to talk to you, and I'm lonely here in this hotel room or whatever. Hey, can we move our conversation to WhatsApp? The reason they do that is because if you're still talking to them on Facebook, then you're more likely to click, you know, that it's a potential scam, or more likely to go research and figure out you're talking to the wrong Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
So they move you to WhatsApp, and then that's all encrypted. And again, WhatsApp is also owned by Facebook. And the last three romance scammers that I reverse scammed, I didn't take any money from them, but I was fooling them the whole time. They all wanted to talk on WhatsApp.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Johnny Depp's getting up in years. Maybe, you know, can't be too off the mark. He might be doing a little cougar hunting and, you know, going after some 7-year-old ladies.
Oh, no. Socialcatfish.com. Catfish on YouTube. You go watch those videos of these people that were romance scammed by celebrities or public figures. And you look at the celebrity in a picture and you look at the, you know, 89-year-old woman with one eyeball. Okay, wait, that was a guy. Actually, a guy had one eye, and it was this really hot chick somewhere else, mm-hmm. and it wasn't really her. You look at them side by side, and you're like, how could you possibly believe that this person wanted to marry? I mean, and sorry to sound crass, but, you know, you go watch some of those videos, and your jaw will be on the floors like ours is when we're doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, just, come on, people.
I don't mean to be mean, but let's be realistic here.
It's common sense. Come on.
Like I said, you know, Jennifer Aniston ain't going to be banging down my door anytime soon. So, let's go on. So after figuring out we make $7 billion a year on the worst of the worst scam ads, we don't get to know how much money they're making off of all the other scam ads. Mm-hmm. And rather than voluntarily agreeing to do more to vet advertisers,
this
again,
is from
I'm reading from Reuters. Yeah. Rather than voluntarily agreeing to do more to vet advertisers, the same document states the company's leadership decided to act only in response to impending regulatory action. That means it was a decision on the part of the company's highest mucky mucks. We're not going to do anything about these scammers until the government starts coming after us.
And they're coming after them now.
Think about it.
Yeah.
They don't give a rat's ass about you,
yeah,
the regular Facebook user.
I wanted to interject. We are quoting very few parts of this article by Reuters. It's a very long and informative article, and we're going to put a link to it under this episode. You got to read it. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, we're quoting a bunch of stuff just so y'all know we didn't just make this up.
We don't have 4 hours. It won't take you 4 hours to read it, but it would take us 4 hours to talk about it. But we're just giving you some of the highlights.
Okay, so now we know where their motivation lies.
Yeah.
We're making far too much money mm-hmm. on these scam ads to fight against the scammers. Just let them roll our customers and,
we don't care.
We don't care because we're making, well, think about it. Most of you on Facebook, you're not spending any money on that stuff. You're just got your free Facebook account and you're looking at your friends' videos and dancing cats and lately you got Elmo cussing up a storm. It's man, I clicked on one of those and now all I get all night long.
Brian's cracking up. Hearing Elmo say the F word over and over again is hilarious.
But they don't care about you. You aren't spending a penny on Facebook. You're not contributing.
Turn it around a little bit. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Twist it around a little bit. The scammers are making money from victims.
Yep.
And they are spending the victims' money on ads
for Facebook. Yep.
So Facebook is directly profiting from scam victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Facebook doesn't care if your grandma lost her $150,000 retirement account. Facebook doesn't care that your aunt Missy sent Johnny Depp $25,000 because his manager wouldn't let him have access to his funds that day and he needed to, you know, rent a big hotel room or something.
They don't care if you jump off a 15-story building because you lost every penny that you ever had and you don't know how to make it back and you feel like a fool because you fell for one of these scams.
Yeah, they don't care about you at all. They just care about their money.
All right, so we've talked about what the higher ups decided on this. So
and their motivations
and they put out their orders to the underlings. What were their policies in 2025, Angie?
Well, again, according to Reuters, and I'm quoting, in the first half of 2025, a February document states the team responsible for vetting questionable advertisers wasn't allowed to take actions that could cost Meta more than 0.15% of the company's total revenue. That works out to about $135 million out of the $90 billion Meta generated in the first half of 2025. So it sounds like they're telling their employees, if what you're doing is going to cost us this much money, don't do it.
And look at the disparity between the two numbers. They make $90 billion a year.
That's only the first half of 2025.
I'm sorry. First half. Okay. Yeah. So they're basically making $180 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in their team that reviews these scammers, if you cutting them off is going to cost them, and I'm assuming this is an aggregate number.
Yeah.
You know, your team put together cannot shut down enough the number of scam ads that would cost Meta $135 million. I'm sorry, $135 million.
Yeah, so they're generating, again, this is the first half of 2025.
Pull out your calculator.
$90 billion. Yeah. And they told their team, if what you're uncovering is going to cost us $135 million out of that $90 billion, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
and for a company making $90 billion every 6 months, what is $135 million?
Yeah,
that's
I agree.
That's pennies.
Yep,
0.15% of the company's total revenue.
Yep.
If it goes above that, leave them alone.
Yep.
Just let them keep scamming people.
Yep.
I mean, it's just disgusting. It just gets sick.
Mm-hmm. So this is
coming from a 2022 document now.
Yeah, another 2022 document notes the company's, quote, lack of investment, end quote, in automated scam detection back then made a classified scam ads as a, quote, low severity, end quote, problem, viewing them as a bad user experience.
Okay,
so it's not a low severity problem. It's just a bad user experience when people are getting scammed. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Just absolutely disgusting.
So you get fooled by one of these things, you lose, you know, half of whatever you got.
Yeah.
And as far as Meta's concerned, that's just a bad experience. Get over it. Move on. Yeah. As Alma would say, F it. It's just a bad day. Wake up. Go on to the next one. Oh, man.
Is Elmo going to show up at the end of this episode?
He might. I don't know. We try to keep this family friendly. I'm not doing a really great
job. Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
And here, we've already talked about this.
Yeah. Well, you take it because you've experienced this.
Yeah. Again, according to Reuters, Meta already was ignoring the vast majority of user reports of scams, a document from 2023 indicates. I want to tell you about, this is the first time I've received something like this from Facebook. Mm-hmm. I reported a scammer and they sent me back an automated response and said, we get several of these every day, whatever, and we're just not even going to look into this one.
Yeah.
They didn't even, I mean...
Just not even going to look.
Yeah.
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 They probably are scammers. Too bad. Yeah. Get over it.
So by that year, security staffers estimated that Facebook and Instagram users each week were filing about 100,000 valid reports of fraudsters messaging them, the document says, but Meta ignored or incorrectly rejected 96% of them. This is, again, from internal documents from 2023 that Reuters got a hold of.
Screw you. Elmo's got better things to do.
Sorry.
Right. You better not wake me up in the morning with that voice. Man.
I'll wait till the next time we're having an intimate moment.
Okay. It's going to get real unintimate very fast.
Back to the
G rating. Gosh.
Here I thought we were going to get on here and do a real serious podcast and
You know what? This is so tragic.
Well, I know.
We've got to find some humor.
This is my dark humor coming out.
Yeah. And, you know, again, we've talked to so many victims of scams, online scams, not just publishing scams.
Yeah.
And it's nauseating.
Absolutely disgusting.
And the fact that Meta knowingly let it happen and is still letting it happen. I mean, I think people need to go to jail for this.
I'm sorry. If you're working at Meta, you should quit.
You know what?
I don't care how much of an income hit you're going to take. You should quit.
If you're working at Meta, we would love to talk to you. We'll disguise your voice.
Anybody working for Meta wants to call us and talk to us?
Writersweekly.com.
Give us a call.
Click on the contact us button. Comes right to me. Okay. All those messages come to me.
I'll be polite to you, but I still think you ought to just quit because you're working for an evil company.
Well, I think if they come forward and provide information,
maybe
they're a good person. Maybe they're doing some good work on the inside to try to change these things. But
I get it. But
I would love to talk to somebody from Meta who knows what's going on. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Yeah. If you don't want to be interviewed, you can anonymously write an article for us.
There you go.
And we'll publish it and publicize that. Yeah.
Okay. Part of this report goes on to explain how some of these scams affected people and then the efforts to try to get Meta to shut them down. There was one in Canada. It was a woman who was a recruiter for the Air Force in Canada, and apparently she had lots and lots of friends, and she was a good, upstanding, Canadian service member. Well, one of these scammers did exactly what we've told y'all about. Mm-hmm. They go and they take all her pictures. They start a new Facebook profile with her name on it, with her pictures on it.
Yeah.
Then that scammer starts reaching out to all her friends on her friends list and putting up posts that say, quote, I'm super happy to announce that I'm cryptocurrency certified. And then they start posting all kinds of other stuff about how successful she's becoming with her crypto investments. And wouldn't you like to invest with me?
I have been invited to those profiles, people friend requesting me, and all their posts are about how successful they are with crypto. Yep. I know they're scammers, but you know what? There's a lot of elderly people on the internet, on Facebook, just trying to talk to their friends who don't know any better. And that's who they're going after.
Yeah, exactly. So this woman, this recruiter, the real one, said she immediately filed multiple reports with Meta. Mm-hmm. Weeks went by and no response. And her account kept, that fake account kept putting out posts saying how rich she's becoming because of all of...
And they were contacting her friends.
Contacting her friends.
Offering them the same opportunity.
Yep. She said that her supervisor, of course, she's in the military, so she probably went to her, you know, higher up officers who reached out to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and the RCMP flat out told them, Meta usually doesn't respond to us when we talk about hacked accounts.
Specifically from the Mounties.
From the Canadian Mounties, yeah.
Yeah, so more than one has been hacked.
Yeah.
The Canadian Mounted Police, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, reach out to Meta, and they just don't respond. They don't care.
And it said, the RCMP said that it regularly raises reports of abuse on platforms such as Meta. So nothing happened with all these reports.
Yeah.
And then after about a month, one of her, a former Canadian Army officer who was a friend of hers.
Yeah.
Reached out to her and said, hey, I went in on this cryptocurrency thing that was on your profile and I lost $40,000.
At 40,000 Canadian.
Yeah. And because of that scam. And she said it was just devastating to find out that her friends are now losing their money because of this.
And he said, I thought I was talking to a trusted friend who has a really good reputation. And it was an impersonation scam.
Because of that, he said his guard was down.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Dozens of other people reported it multiple times each. Mm-hmm. They Meta received over 100 reports, and by the time Meta finally took down that hacked account, at least 4 other military colleagues had been defrauded. Because Meta just don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm. They don't care.
I mean, I wonder for that 40,000 for that guy and however many thousands that these other people lost, I wonder how much Meta made on there. On those ads,
what, probably $25 or something.
Well, I don't know, maybe millions. But
no, I mean for the specific one that profile one, that was running ads, how much money did that one profile spend versus how many people got scammed out of how much? Yeah.
And in Singapore, the police were gave Meta a list of 146 examples of scams that were targeting their country's users.
That was last fall, right?
That was last fall.
Okay.
And then Meta staff only found that 23% of those 146 examples actually violated their platform's policies. The other 77%.
Oh, you got to quote this.
They said, quote, violate the spirit of the policy, but not the letter of the policy.
The hell does that mean?
I have no idea. That was just more gobbledygook to excuse their behavior.
Yeah, and to let them keep running ads on Meta on Facebook and Instagram.
Yep. Okay. Now here's, so as if we haven't already made you puke.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse. So let's say you're a scammer.
You're mailing boxes with rocks in them to people instead of like a Polaroid camera. Or
something. There you go. Okay.
You're low level.
You're small time.
Yeah.
All right. And you're spending, let's say, let's not talk about spending yet. Okay. You're just a small-time scammer, you know, and you have maybe 2 or 3 ads on Facebook that are making the rounds, right? Now,
you ain't making much money.
You ain't making a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
You're not paying Meta a whole lot of money.
Yeah, right.
So when an advertiser like you are caught red-handed, right?
Yeah.
A small advertiser may have to get flagged...
About eight times
before Meta would block it.
And that means somebody's clicking to report you as a fraud or scam.
That's your small-time, you know, little scammer.
Yeah,
right?
So when 8 people get a box of rocks from you instead of a new camera, they're going to click and report you to Meta, and Meta's going to take your account down.
And then they might take you down.
But you're not spending enough money at Meta.
Now, let's say I'm a Nigerian Yahoo boy who's worth $100 million, and I've got 100 ads on Meta, all of which I'm paying, let's say, $100 for every month. Whatever, you know. I got big ads going on, and I'm ripping off lots of people, just raking in the money.
A lot of those ads are based on how many people are clicking on the ads.
Okay.
So you say, I'm going to pay, you know, this much for this many
clicks. Oh, I see. So my ads are so good.
For this many, so my ads are doing so well, and I'm paying Mate a lot of money. However, I'm ripping a lot of people off, too. So it's definitely financially worth it.
And because I have all those ads and I'm making so much money for Meta, I get known as a high-value account. Now,
that's a quote, right?
That's a quote.
High value account,
mm-hmm. right? How many strikes, Angela, do you think I would have against me before Meta looks at shutting me down?
Well, it's more than eight.
More than eight.
I read the article. 500.
If you're the big spender and you're making Meta a lot of money with your scams, you have to have over 500 people complain on you before they'll do anything about it.
So that's 500 people that you scammed, or a mixture of people that got scammed and people that recognize that you're a scammer.
Yep.
Yep. So, high value accounts pay Meta a lot more money, and the little guy only gets eight strikes. The big guys get 500.
Yep. Four ad campaigns that were removed by Meta earlier this year were responsible for $67 million in monthly advertising revenue.
That's four accounts?
Four accounts.
Fraudulent ad campaigns.
$67 million every month in Meta's pocket.
Yeah. Wow. Wonder why they got removed.
Now, those got removed, four of them, so they weren't big enough.
Guess not.
They weren't big enough to get the 500 strikes against them, right?
I saw it. Scammiest scammer.
Okay, scammiest scammer.
I like it. That,
believe it or not, and again, this is what boggles my mind. This was done by an employee of Meta to draw attention to the, and I'm reading again from Reuters, to draw attention to the company's perceived failures. An employee earlier this year, I have a feeling that employee's probably not working there anymore, but began issuing reports highlighting that week's, quote, scammiest scammer, unquote. The report profiled whichever advertiser had earned the most user complaints about scams in the past weeks.
Wow.
Now, colleagues praised the initiative, but being name-checked in the report wasn't always enough for such accounts to get shut down. Now, this is an employee at Facebook, Meta, whatever, who sees the data and actually putting out a list of who the scammiest scammers of all their scammers are.
For that week.
And Facebook still wouldn't take those down.
Incredible.
A check by Reuters of five accounts cited in one scammiest scammer found that that two were still live more than 6 months later.
Wow.
Including one that was running ads for unlicensed online casinos.
Oh, people are so stupid.
Yep. Here's a little interesting tidbit on how they punish scammers, okay? So to advertise on Meta's platforms, again, reading from Reuters here, a business has to compete in an online auction.
I read about that.
Okay.
Yep.
Before bidding, the company's automated systems calculate the odds that the advertiser is engaged in fraud. So before you even get to advertise on Facebook, they're actually have algorithms scanning your application to determine what your odds, what the chances are that you're a scammer.
Yep.
They've already started the process.
Mm-hmm.
So don't tell me they can't find them.
Right.
I mean, this report shows us. They know exactly who these people are. Under Meta's new policy, likely scammers who fall below Meta's threshold for removal have to pay more to win an auction.
So if they think you're a scammer, they're just going to charge you more money for your ad.
Charge more money.
And you know what? You're not going to matter to you because you're going to make so much money scamming.
Yeah.
But they're still going to let you run ads.
So for Meta, the financial impact of this policy was mixed.
Yeah.
The company would sell fewer scam ads. Yeah. But it makes more money from the ads that it did sell because it jacked the prices up for the scammers.
Yeah.
Well, that's not solving any problem.
Well, they're not interested in solving a problem.
Well, it's certainly, they don't have a problem to solve. They're making money hand over fist here. So, folks, that's what's going on. It's in Reuters. We will link to that
I want to mention how we found the Reuters article. Yes. A company called ARS Technica, ARSTechnica.com. We'll put a link to it under Writers Week.
Yes, that's actually where we first heard of the report.
And the headline was, Bombshell Report Exposes How Meta Relied on Scam Ad Profits to Fund AI. They needed that money.
Yep.
To fund their AI development. That's why they kept letting it go. And you know what? Even if they had a different excuse, they would want that money.
Yeah, it doesn't
anyway.
Really matter why, but right. that is the excuse they're basically giving, is they're trying to pour so much money into their AI program that they just couldn't figure out how to cut all these scammers out of their platforms because they needed that money. And they needed that money so bad for their AI, which is going to do so many wonders for all of us, I'm
Zuckerberg's
sure.
Zuckerberg's next yacht.
Yeah, exactly.
But ARS Technica's subtitle, mm-hmm. Meta goosed its revenue by targeting users likely to click on scam ads. Docs show. Yep.
There you go.
Definitely goosed its revenue.
Go in there and read. What was this publication?
This is ARS Technica.
ARS Technica.
Yeah, and we're going to put a link to that too because that
pretty much
alerted us to
everything.
The Reuters article. And these are both brand new from this week.
And then you can go to the Reuters article and read the long
version.
Yeah,
we'll put both links. And it is a long article, but it's absolutely jaw-dropping. Numbers.
You know, I'm not a Pollyanna about this. Do I think that enough people are going to stop using Facebook to shut Meta down? No. It's not going to happen. But this shows you why you have to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And learn what to look for with these scammers, because they're not going to stop them. They're not going to sweep them off Facebook for you. They're not going
to
take them off
platform.
Instagram for Instagram, right? Is there another one? Instagram. You're still going to get contacted by these, you know, random unknown numbers on WhatsApp and stuff.
Yeah.
You have to be able to discern what's possibly a scam and then don't even touch it. Delete it and just do not engage with that person in any way, shape, or form.
And the most important thing is, because the problem is so big, again, education is the key.
Yeah.
You need to talk to your spouse, your elderly parents, your kids. Episode 25 and what will be episode 27 talks about Yahoo Boys and sextortion and how children in the United States are committing suicide after getting sextorted by these Nigerian scammers. So listen to those episodes, sit your kids down and talk to them. Mm-hmm. And it tells you what to tell your kids to hopefully avoid them becoming a victim too.
Absolutely.
But we all have to talk about this, and that's how we all learn.
Yep.
You know, spammers are scammers.
Because we learned a year ago, us trying to shut them down ain't going to work. You know, and because we're not the only ones trying. There are much bigger entities than us that have been trying to shut down the online scammers, and it's not working. They're just growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
You have got to learn to, it's basically a survival out there.
And anybody reaches out to you on Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, wherever, and says they have an investment opportunity or that they love you or that, you know, they've got this great product or anything else, anybody wanting you to spend money, even if you think it's a friend of yours, don't do it. Because the fewer people that fall for these scams, the less money the scammers are going to make.
Exactly.
And eventually, at some point, they're going to have to try a new scam. You know, it used to be the Nigerian prince thing. Now they found 100 other different ways to get money from people. It's once they get hit in the pocketbook hard enough, it's going to cull how many scammers there are. You know, of course, they're going to find another thing to do. But also, this is going to hit Facebook in the pocketbook because
I hope so.
That lawsuit in California has two plaintiffs right now, and I can tell you they're about to have a lot more.
We need, but we need lawsuits across the country hitting Facebook all at once. That's what's going to have to happen.
We were talking with Clayton Jones, who's a University of English professor. We were talking to Clayton Jones, who's an English professor at the University of Tennessee. He was in contact with a law firm and sharing all of this proof we had that Facebook was running ads for scammers and not taking them down. And just last week, they sent us the most recent filing for that California case, and other lawyers are referring potential clients to that law firm in California. Okay. It's Khaleesi versus Meta, and We have a link on our website. You can read the most recent filing from that lawsuit. Yeah. But I expect that lawsuit to explode.
We want to see a billion people on that lawsuit.
Yeah, right. Now, Meta tried to get it dismissed because they said it didn't violate their community guidelines. But some judge said, yeah, it did. Yeah. So it is moving forward. And again, under this episode, writersweekly.com/podcast, we are going to put that law firm's contact information. So if you have been scammed by somebody that ran ads on Facebook, Instagram, or contacted you on WhatsApp, reach out to that law firm. If they get a $1 billion fine from regulators, but they end up owing victims billions and billions of dollars, and honestly, those victims deserve to get their money back.
Absolutely.
That's going to hurt Meta, and that's going to stop this process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we would love to hear your comment. This is big news here. So we would love to hear your comments. Click on the comment below button on the webpage on writersweekly.com.
Right under this episode.
Go writersweekly.com /podcast, go to this episode, and there's a comment section down there. We'd really love to hear what you got to say about this.
We'd like to hear if you were a victim.
We'd definitely love to hear if you're a victim. We would like to do more episodes interviewing victims so more people can understand, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, and we'd really, really like to talk to you if you work for Meta.
If you work for Meta, give us a little jingle.
We will never divulge who you are.
Okay, that's it for the Writers Weekly podcast. It's actually went a little longer than we thought so, but there was a lot of information to put
out. That's true.
So we will see you next time. Next episode will be part 2 of the Yahoo Boys episode explaining what they're up to in Nigeria.
You have been contacted by the Yahoo Boys, I guarantee it, and so have your children.
Yep. All right. See y'all next time on the Writers Weekly podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, you know what? Whatever happened today, that's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. Kiss my ass.